line. Grant Nisa is the managing director, Jojo Tanks. I've seen Jojo Tanks around, it feels like all my life, on farms everywhere, standing on impossibly high rickety structures to get the water pressure as far and wide as possible on a farm. How long have Jojo Tanks been part of the South African landscape?
Evening, Bruce. Thanks for having me. I'm told from early 1980s, Jojo Tanks have been around. They started off making fiberglass tanks. The farmer, Johannes Joubert from Krobbelsdal.
Johannes Joubert, Jojo.
That's right.
Did he come up with that all by himself?
I think he insisted on it once he made the first tank, but yeah.
So fiberglass, now, you said, at the moment you said fiberglass, I've got this vision of my dad's farm, this great big white Jojo tank on top of a 10 meter tall tower, to get the water pressure, right? That would have been an original fiberglass tank, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, he heard about this new technology, rotational molding. Which is really suitable for making big tanks and big hollow structures. And he sent his daughter over to the UK, by all accounts. And she came back and brought this technology back. And they built on his farm the first oven. And you have to rotate the mold in an oven around two axes. And he's still alive. And he's actually showed me where the oven went in, coal-fired oven. And from there, the business started. And yeah, that was early 1980s. And
are any of those original tanks still around? I mean, do they still resemble what it is that you're producing on a far different industrial scale today?
No, I haven't seen any of those tanks. I don't know what they look like. But the core team at Jojo has been around for a long time. Maybe
they've got a recollection. So this rotational molding then creates a tank, but I want to call it something else. I don't know. A cylindrical container that is completely sealed with just, and then you would bore in the inlet pipes and the outlet pipes and the massive the big hole in the top in order to be able to get in and out if you need to clean it.
That's right. No, rotation molding, different from injection molding, different from blow molding or extrusion. As I said, it lends itself to making tanks. A powder is inserted inside a hollow mold. It is then put in an oven and heated to the right temperature. And as this powder then cascades around the mold, it starts to melt. And then it attaches to the mold surface. And so the powder then attaches to the powder. And if you cook it right, all the air is released and you have a seamless tank. You can obviously put certain inserts in it to make, you don't have to put the holes in afterwards. And you do have to have an exhaust to let the air escape.
Okay, very important to have all of these things. The powder is clearly a plastics powder, some sort of polymer. Yeah. Some sort of polymer. Where does that come from?
It is made by Sasol.
It's local?
It's local. Mm-hmm. They are unable to completely meet local demand. And we have over the years had to import as an industry. Every now and then they have a bit of problems with their plant and we have to import a little bit more. But yeah, mainly we get our material from Sasol and good quality and it does the job.
So, I mean, what blows my mind is that the vast majority of Jojo tanks that we see around the South African landscape come from coal.
That's right.
It's this wonderful sort of symbiosis of technology developed in South Africa and the final product, the beneficiated product, this Jojo tank made out of plastic, originates out of centuries old, a millennia old, of carbon, which was formed underground and then brought back to the surface. I love the imagery that brings. Yeah.
Most of the polymer is sourced via Sasol from their cracker plant, and there's two major polymer producers, Safripol and Sasol. Mm. Yeah, and we get our grade, our rotor grade material from Sasol.
So these tanks, I mean, and I was just going through your catalogs today and looking at the huge variety of products that you make from dog kennels to mobile toilets to all kinds of wonderful devices and contraptions. I mean, it really is lots of big boys' toys that you do produce. But the standard tank, the water receptacle, you've innovated there quite a lot. You've created the multi-slim tanks and things to make them less obtrusive in small smaller format homes and to get the maximum volume, and you can still tuck it under the eaves of a house. But there must be huge demand for the biggest possible receptacles that you can make.
Yeah, look, if you go above 20, 30,000 liters, some of our competitors making big tanks, you know, it's not really competitive, and normally you will go with a steel tank for the really bigger stuff, and if you go even bigger, you'll go into concrete, and then you'll
become a structural problem? The thickness of the polymer would have to be really quite extraordinary.
It becomes uneconomical. And then below a certain size, rotor molding is in the sweet spot, and then smaller tanks and smaller containers and blow molding will serve. It really depends how much water you want to store, what your solution should be. We make our biggest tank is a 20,000 liter, and obviously it's very easy to string them together. And if you want to store 100,000 liters, you line them up next to each other.
You watch people with trailers with 20 tanks on these things. You can just imagine what people are doing in their yards and their backyards and in factories and things. Is the real fear of water supply grips the nation, particularly in the Western Cape. Tell me about demand for tanks. What sort of demand increase have you seen, I don't know, 5 years on 5 years or year on year? I don't know what stat you have to hand.
Yeah, so an interesting fact about our tanks is that they were designed for farmers and designed for agricultural use, obviously water storage and then pesticides, fertilizer, that kind of application. But the vast majority of tanks over the years have been used by the unserviced community, unserviced rural community. And we don't realize how many people just don't have running water.
Sure.
And these tanks are their way of getting water. And their water comes from a truck. And that water then comes from a boil, or that water comes from a river. And the steady demand that JoJo has been built on is that demand. And those are our customers. And only recently, really, with the distress in the urban markets, have you seen rainwater harvesting? Have you seen what we call municipal backups? And that we see as a spike on top of the sort of age, you know, the decade-long demand that we've had.
Okay, so decade-long demand, would you have seen it grow at, 10 or 15% a year? That's the sort of good growth that you might have had over a decade.
Yeah.
And what's happened in the last year or two?
Well, I can just quote that we had a long-term average of about 700 tanks, if I take the sort of medium-sized tank going into the Western Cape. We weren't the market. You know, we didn't have the major market share, but we were supplying about 700 tanks.
At 700 tanks a month, a year?
A month.
A month.
That is a long-term average. In November, we supplied 7,000 tanks.
My goodness.
And we can't keep up.
No, and are you finding that you're slipping behind the demand curve? Because, I mean, there is this, as much of it as a frenzy for bottled water in Cape Town, particularly as Day Zero sat in April, then moved out to May and June, perhaps those nerves have calmed. But this desire that actually you need some sort of long-term water plan if we're going to live in uncertain, in water insecurity.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cape Townians have gone into rainwater harvesting. I think they also do fear the pressure drops and the unreliable supply. But, you know, you can't really use a JoJo tank to increase your offtake. So really the main use for a tank at the moment is rainwater harvesting. And, yeah, I mean, if you look at the stats, and we've always said, you know, what's the horizon for this business? How many tanks can we sell? Our number, looking at the census and looking at what we believe the sort of stock of tanks is in the Western Cape, is that, you know, we're talking one household in 40 at the end of 2017 had a tank. So
there are 39 other houses.
There are 39 other houses, but they're trying to buy all at the same time.
We're going to talk more about JoJo Tanks. Grant Nisa is the managing director at JoJo Tanks. It is a company that was started by what was his name?
Johannes Joubert.
And that's where JoJo comes from. JoJo as a feature of the rural landscape of South Africa, and in recent years has become an increasing suburban feature as well as particularly Cape Townians. And I think more and more people in Gauteng learning about the fact that if it hadn't been for Cyclone Dineo last year, that Joburg could have run very, very short of water as well. Climate is changing. Water supply is changing. Demand is changing. And urban areas have got many, many more people poured into them, and not necessarily new additional sources of water. And more families are, if they can afford it, taking the ability to have backup into their own hands. More on JoJo Tanks in a moment. We're talking rainwater tanks. We're talking about South Africa's obsession with water, and it's a good obsession to have. Grant Nisa is the managing director at JoJo Tanks. Who owns JoJo Tanks nowadays?
It's currently owned by a private equity consortium, Rand Merchant Bank. Both of their private equity businesses are in there. That is Ventures and Corvest, as well as
They must be smiling. I mean, I think they do anti-rain dance. I mean, they do anti sort of rain dances. They want just enough rain to fill the tanks, but not enough to fill the dams. They must be delighted.
No, they're very happy with the investment. And then we've also got Pan African Private Equity, and then Stockdale Street, which is an Oppenheimer private equity business.
Wow.
And
I mean, this is serious money that's been invested in this business then.
Yeah, I think, look, at the first transaction with Jonas Bear was done in, 2009, and that was done with Investec.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, they made a lot of money as well, but,
they must be kicking themselves because they sold out.
Yeah, I think Investec probably think they sold too early.
Yeah, but I mean, look, you've got to make a decision at some point, don't you, in terms of whether you stay in or out. When you look at the potential demand of a business like this and the amount of capital that your investors are prepared to put into it, do they see what you see in terms of market potential?
Yeah, look, management also has a stake in the business. That's how private equity is structured. Mm-hmm.
They want to make you sweat. You've got to sweat, yes.
Yeah. No, we're happy. I think all of us as ownership team believe that there's going to be scarcity of water, whether it's climate change or whether it is infrastructure problems. You know, I think there's going to be water stress in, we just can't predict in which city, which town it's going to happen, but certainly demand for water tanks is going to be around.
But I mean, you've got 8 factories in South Africa, one in Botswana as well, and one in Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. Has that continued all the way through the dark times in Zim? Have you kept it going?
We have. We've obviously got quite a lot of money trapped in Zimbabwe, and we weren't able to get our raw material payments out, but you have to pay a commission in order to carry on doing business, and you have to put it into the price. But the tanks are selling like mad, as fast as we can make them in Zimbabwe.
But this African continent is a water-scarce place. One would think you've got an export market. Not only have you got massive domestic demand, which will ebb and flow depending on whether there's a cloud in the sky, but there's a long-term demand, surely, for these things.
Yeah, look, I mean, so when I arrived 3 years ago at JoJo, I said, look, we got to go into Africa. We've got the right technology. We've got the skills. It's a funny thing. Every country in Africa is supplied. Where there's a demand, someone's arrived to fill it. And
where do you find your biggest competition come from?
In South Africa, we've got our biggest opposition is a company called Eco Tanks, and the second biggest is Roto Tanks. Mm-hmm. But we believe we've got a market share of between 50% and 60%.
All right. So you're the dominant player in South Africa and other parts of the African continent? Are we seeing lots of Asian imports? Are we seeing that? Is there manufacturing capacity elsewhere in the world?
We see two kinds of businesses. You see either Indian business or Lebanese businesses that are much quicker to move into Africa than South Africans, actually. I mean, we went and had a look at Ghana, and well-established businesses operating well.
Manufacturing there as well, or just
no,
pure
manufacturing
imports?
Manufacturing.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And Jonas Rebeer and the team went into Mozambique, they went into Botswana, and they went into Namibia, and they're no longer there. So it's not that easy.
Which is good, because, I mean, high barriers to entry make for a business case. Yeah. You sell these things with 10-year warranties. I mean, is that the life expectancy, or do you expect them to last? You'll give them a warranty of 10 years, you expect them to last 20?
Yeah, they do last too long.
It's like the earliest. I've got a cousin who I think may still have my grandfather's Kelvinator fridge.
Yeah.
The retro for the Smeg fridges, the retro Smeg fridges. That it's not nearly as pretty as those, but the thing still works, and it must have been bought in the 1950s. Yeah.
Now the UV package works very well. They unless you abuse a tank, and
how do you abuse a tank?
Look, you can hang steel fittings off it. You can drive a forklift through it. We see all kinds of things happening. You can pressurize it. It's not designed to be pressurized. And then if the lid starts to pump, you will start getting flexing and you'll get cracks forming. But we often see tanks 15 years old. And if they're out of the really harsh UV light, then they will last a long time. Yeah.
And how long does water, theoretically, I mean, you want to boil water, I suppose, when it comes out of a tank if it's been sitting there for a while, but realistically, how long would you expect water to be potable, having been stored in a JoJo tank?
Look, our municipal water is good quality, it's potable, and if your lid is secure, it will stay safe indefinitely. You know, algae won't grow in the tank. And really, the problem with the water is what goes into the water. So if it comes off the roof and it's got a couple of bad hokas in it, then obviously you can expect
a couple of birds.
Yeah.
the odd feral cat. But you do things from agricultural products. You're doing animal feeding schemes, movable toilets and all of that sort of stuff. What's your annual turnover? Are you allowed to say? I mean, I'm just interested in terms of the scale of a business like this in South Africa in a water scarce country.
It's a little over 600 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a very substantial business.
It is a substantial business. And a lot of people don't realize how big JoJo Tanks is. I like to tell people they come there, a person will arrive and say, I want about 20 tanks. Just give me a special price.
I've got a special price. It's the same price as for one.
No, we sell over 1,200 tanks a day. So it's a lot of tanks.
And are you behind on orders?
We are behind in the Western Cape. We're sitting at about a 40-day lead time.
Are you importing from your other factories? You've got 8 factories around the country. You've got 7 that could supply.
We are supplying from everywhere. And unfortunately, it's costing us a bit of money. But we do think it's the right thing to do.
Have you been able to expand your margins through the crisis?
We have not. Our margins, unfortunately, they have narrowed. Look, let me put it this way. We had a really nice situation 2 years ago when we had a similar spike in Gauteng. We've got much more capacity up in Gauteng. And then your margins widen automatically because you're getting a better fixed cost absorption and you're getting better utilization.
I mean, is there a case for imports disrupting this market? You manufacture locally. These are big, bulky things. I can't imagine container ships full of JoJo tank equivalents being brought from places like China simply because they're just too big and bulky. You're pretty safe, I would guess, from imports.
Yeah, we are. They, being air and being low value items, they travel extremely poorly, and they definitely travel poorly on.
Good market then.
It's a good market at the moment. But look, we're not resting on our laurels. We are exposed to the South African domestic water storage market. We're looking at limiting our exposure there. But it's very good to us at the moment.
Grant Niesup is the managing director of JoJo Tanks, a 600 million rand a year turnover business. It is owned in private equity by various private equity players, including the Oppenheimers, which is interesting. Plus, of course, with huge demand coming in the Western Cape, from an average of 700 tanks a month being sold in the Western Cape to 7,000 sold in November last year. And no doubt that demand is not going to abate anytime soon.